turn back with me to where we were this past Lord's Day morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Not on the same thing, just a little farther down in the chapter. Following a difficult Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday, I was thinking about what one of the old men of the last generation that I had a great deal of respect for said. Said there were not many Sundays that he did not go home and write out his resignation. But he let him stay on his desk there, and he didn't turn them in. I don't know what benefit I am to you. I don't know how, especially in this day, how lasting it might be, but it seems that most of the workings of the Lord are about like the morning dew. Just as soon as the sun's up, they're all gone. But I dare not quit till the Lord grants me release and freedom to do so whenever that might be. But that's got, well, it does have something to do with tonight too. I wish you could hear me. Not like you're sitting at a lecture in a workshop on how to, but here down in your heart of hearts, and it would be very unusual, and the Lord knows I've told him time and again, it would be very unusual for him to make this a lasting conviction. But we'll pray to that end and wait, see what he might do. I want to speak primarily to you from verse number 21 about Rehoboam loved Micah. I can only draw from that certain inferences that I would like to set before you. It is not an exposition of this verse. I mean, it's self-explanatory. There could be not a lot of exposition, but just pulling it out of the context that it's written in. But before we begin reading with verse number 18, would you bow with me as we seek our Lord's dear face? Our Father, you have granted us the grace and the mercy, the will, the strength together and now, Father, we need a right heart sitting here. For we all will be brought back to this, whether it is in time or not. No one knows, but at least in eternity. And Father, I pray that you might be gracious to open the hearts of these here, the young and the middle-aged, and that by thy Spirit you might apply it to our daily living, and grant that we might obtain from it a practical yet lasting meaning to our own heart. Not anyone else. My heart, the individual heart of these. Give help, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Sunday I spoke with you about God casting, or about Jeroboam casting off the Lord's priests, the Lord's servants, and then he going about to ordain those of his own choosing. And the true priest of God moved out of this land, and they moved down there into the kingdom of Judah. So they were coming someplace where they might have freedom to carry on their responsibility to God. I said 18, verse 17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong. 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. And Rehoboam took him Mahalah, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, to wife, and Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. Now, 3 years they walked in the way of David and of Solomon. And these bare him children, Jeush, Shamariah, and Zaham. And after her he took Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, which bare him Abijah, and Attai, and Ziza, and Shelomith. And Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and his concubines. For he took 18 wives and 80 concubines, and begat 28 sons and 80 daughters. Practical. So all that I want to set before you. When he begins, those that he takes for wives, or, and it might be the grandson of David, probably is, because scripture would often call a grandson a son, but that's not important. It just took one from David's family. And the son of Jesse, one from which is the was the father of David. And everything's all right. I won't take time to list the names of all his children by the first two wives and what they mean. If you have a desire, you can look them up. But then he marries Absalom's daughter. And here is where his heart settles down. Now it is evident from the history of David and Absalom that Absalom had no boundaries or guidelines for living beyond his own fallen nature. If he wanted it, he obtained it, at least tried to. If he thought he needed it, he sought for it. He was his own boss, his own Lord, and that God had given early to Israel, honor thy father and thy mother, had no significance to him. It didn't even keep him in check. And you can be certain that such a man as this set no rules, regulations, or had any instruction for the raising of his children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, or trained up a child in the way he should go. Didn't affect him. Man that set out to kill his dad, Israel's great and mighty and very holy king. Rehoboam was raised differently than Absalom. And it was manifest in his early years as king of Judah. And it seemed that the two wives, were desirous of rightly training their children, which kept Rehoboam carefully in his walk and conduct before them. They maintained this a while, even after he took Absalom's daughter. And the first boy, his name, Jehovah, is father. But that's the last of his children, and their name reflecting anything of God or spiritual. From the first son, the second one is called Opportune. The third one is named Shining. And the fourth one is named Peaceful. Now you're sitting there wondering, what does all this have to do with him, Rehoboam, loving Maacah, Absalom's daughter, more than any of his wives? You will be drawn in the direction that demands the least of you. And you will always be drawn in the paths of the world and religion. you will think more of, be closer associated with, have more fellowship, though it's not that if you're a child of God, though you call it that, you will have more with those who demand little or nothing of you other than what your nature enjoys. And it's going to take you being strong, determined, extremely dedicated to live a life and walk contrary to your good friends, your family, and dare I say, spouse and children. Those that would have you break God's commands for ease, for pleasure, for gain. Now Solomon knew, and he knew by experience, because I don't know, we could look it up. You might could tell me now how many wives Solomon had, but there were some of them that gave him a great deal of trouble. And several occasions he said it's better to dwell in the corner of your house or up in the corner of an attic than with a brawling woman in a wide house. He said, a contentious woman is like the droppings of a rainy day. Her and rain just beating you continually, they're a lot alike. It doesn't have to be a wife. It can be a husband. It can be your children. It can be your friends. Now I'd like for you to think what you and your close friends talk about. Is God ever mentioned? Anything spiritual ever brought up? Well, I have to work with them. I didn't say that. I said you're friends. For it came to pass, 1 Kings 11, when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Would you look with me at Psalm 106? Verse number 34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. We can get along. We can live peaceable with them. We'll just put them to tribute. But were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they, good people, always will go in the direction of bad people. unless God makes you a strong person. They were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. But see, we're more enlightened. We're more educated. We're better trained. Not if you don't adhere to what God says in spite of your best friend. And if this preacher goes astray, you must not, but you must stay on the straight and narrow, because you're prone, I'm prone, to follow the path in life that demands the least out of me. Now, 2 Kings, this and one more, so all I ask you to turn, I think. 2 Kings 17,32 and 33. So they feared the Lord. I mean, they were afraid of Jehovah. But it didn't prevent their wicked acts. And made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. God already chose the tribe from which the priests were to be. But now listen to this. They feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. None of us is going to have a positive effect upon worldly religious people. But there's a great possibility that it's going to work the other way. And worldly and religious people are going to have an effect upon you. And somebody's going to whisper in your ear, "I don't see why you have to be so dedicated. I'm free. I can go. I can act. All these commands. No, you're going overboard. I don't understand why you can't go to the parties that I attend or to the social events that I do. I am a Christian. I don't know what your problem is. We believe in the same God." Isn't it amazing? And an age-old trick of the devil that makes us think that we can change those around us. We'll just win them to the Lord. And I've known a great number of young girls that always thought they were strong enough to get their boyfriend to where they are. And I've seen a few cases where boys, young men, thought they were strong enough to get their girlfriends where they were in serving the Lord. 99% of the time, it works the opposite. You'll go in the direction of the one that is stronger than you. Ahab probably thought that he could get Jezebel over into the Christian faith, serving his God, Jehovah. After all, he's king. He's king of a powerful, large nation. He can do whatever he wants. And when I take her for wife, she'll quit bowing down to the God of the Zidonians. He turned out to be the wickedest king Israel had. And the wife that he took, probably thinking, I'll convert her to Israel's religion, turned out to convert him to false gods and the gods of the Zidonians. All that's within us, the remains of a fallen, deceived, unknowable heart, all that is around us, the world, our job, our people around us, every one of them are opposed to you having anything looking like, resembling close to a spiritual life. And you will have no effect. And yet we keep thinking, well, if I keep associating with them, I'm going to win them. No, they're going to drag you down. You never have heard of a single individual that caught good health from somebody else. You always catch their diseases. First year I was back in school, I stayed sick the entire winter. I caught everything that every student had. It took a while to build up an immunity. You always catch that about them that's going to pull you down. You'll end up with their disease. Now, the effect they have on you may be silent. You may not know about it. It may not show immediately any side effects, but they're all there. You, left to your own devices, your own choices, and your own plans, if you're free to do, then you have lost, if you ever did have, the guidance and the intervention of the Spirit of God. One last, Proverbs chapter number 2. This is Proverbs 2. Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Early years of Solomon, there probably never was a dad so intent on training up his children. But here, listen to his warning to his children and to us. Verse 10, Proverbs 2. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave, they were in it, the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways, the paths of the wicked. So what you deal with within, I included, with fallen nature, will pull us down. What you deal with all around you will draw you away from the Lord if He leaves you to yourself. And there God may leave you forever if you willfully ignore His counsel. Now I want to ask you a question, and I want you, if anything penetrates your heart, would to God you'd be honest with yourself about this. When has the Spirit of God thrown in your way a roadblock to prevent you from doing your own thing or following your own desires? When? Isaiah told the children of Israel that the instruments of the churls, the scoundrels, are evil. And he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. Well, now I love you. Now, I never would tell you wrong. Never would ask you to do anything wrong. And yet all the time, they're asking you to break the Lord's command. There's nobody going to hell that's content going by themselves. We want other folk going with us. And everybody looking to snare you so that they can point a finger at your religion and your God. Now, human nature is prone, it is as prone to take the path of least resistance as a ripe, mature apple or piece of, or any kind of fruit full of juice is prone to be drawn and fall to the earth. That's your nature. Christianity is the only religion that has ever been that demands your death. Well, that's pretty hard, preacher. No, I didn't make that up. Christ said, if you would be my disciples, take up the cross. Let any man come unto me, take up his cross. Well, the cross has but one purpose, and that's that you die. But every religion will let you remain your own Lord and King, and Baptists have become great at it. But in all and of all religions, Christ is the only one that is a living Savior, and He's the only one that sits on the throne. Every other religion lets you sit reigning in your own heart. If you think it's all right, then it's all right. Doesn't matter what the church, doesn't matter what the preacher, doesn't matter what anybody thinks. If it's okay with me, then it's all right. But the child of God, the born again child of God's got a king sitting on the throne of the hearts of his children. Now you have a Savior, at least claim to be the Jesus of today, but this Jesus demands so little of you. Nothing. He demands nothing of you that you're not able to accomplish in the flesh. And my Lord demands everything of me that I cannot accomplish in the flesh. He demands that I die, that His life might be made manifest. I die to my wishes, my wants, any ambitions, worldly dreams. I die. But that's something that I cannot nor can you accomplish without the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings supplying grace. When you are given a choice and there are no binding laws such as contained in the Word of God, you will make a choice agreeable mostly to your fallen nature. And if you come to binding laws in the Scripture, thou shalt and thou shalt not, then human nature is likely to apply their own interpretation to them, and it gives us the freedom to act as we please. Well, I know God said this, but that was at a different time, to different people under different circumstances. And I really believe that what God's saying there, no Scripture is of private interpretation. Well, now, doesn't that have to do with the prophet's writing? Yes, but it has to do with the children of God are not left to interpret it themselves. And all the commands of God reach far beyond the legal intent of a written law. They have to do with spiritual application, and every law of God, when it comes to spiritual application, it runs contrary to my old nature. There's no sacrifice, or very little sacrifice, and certainly no death to self to keep the moral concepts of God's law. It's no sacrifice to me. It's not even a weight to not pick up a gun and go kill somebody that said something I didn't like or acted towards me like I didn't want them to. I don't have any restraints there that cost me. I mean, it's let them think and say what they want. I didn't restrain myself from going picking up a gun. Never was a problem. But now if God applies the spiritual intent of the law, thou shalt not kill. I got problems there. Because I have to watch lest hatred take the place in a heart yielded totally to the Lord. Well, you got to love everybody. We won't even go there, folks. Saul of Tarsus was following the written law of God and doing so with relative ease. When the Spirit of God one day arrested him and applied the written law to the disposition of his heart, and boy, that created a problem in the great Saul. He said, "That day I died." Do you have to have your way? Or can you die? You young ones will face many a time when mom or dad says, "No, you can't," and it runs contrary to your nature. And you're going to always lean to the one that requires the less of you. That's just our nature. Very little is demanded of you to keep the Lord's day and assemble with believers other than an hour or two. I mean, an hour and 15 minutes is about the max we're here. But if I, from my heart, keep that command, then that means I run into conflict with my fallen nature. For it means that for an hour, we'll say an hour and a half, everything must be laid aside. And for that period of time, it calls that all, not 50%, not 75%, but to keep the Lord's day and be in the Lord's house to worship, it's more than me sitting down in the pew, patting myself on the back. It calls for 100% of my heart to be there, and that be right before God. Now the whole point of all that I've said was just to bring this out. It is no wonder that Rehoboam loved a woman that had been raised with little or no regard to Almighty God. And she made life so easy for him. You're going to find out. I don't know if we'll get here Sunday. I don't even know if we'll be back. But you find out that he forsook the Lord. So it's natural for you to like those that make no demand. It's natural for you to put them on a pedestal above everybody else if they make no spiritual demands of your life. But you just follow God with all your heart and see the problems thrown at you by quote unquote Christian believers. With her, he's found out he's free to follow his own nature and his own delights. And he found out when he married one that wasn't, wish to God we could get beyond this religious training all the way to true Christianity. But he found out that one raised beyond the scope of religion made life really easy for him. And he loved her more than all his wives. I do not know if God has even in any way had anything to say with him. Don't know. Can only hope. Because it's a sad state of affairs when you keep going to the house of God and you don't hear God talking in here. Not here, right here. Sad, sad indeed.